Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre. And this is Russ Weaver. Evidently, he's a little bit busy. Could you put your phone down?
Does it ever bother you, these cell phones? You know, we have kind of a love-hate relationship with these cell phones. We love it when we're on them.
Mm-hmm. We hate it when someone else is on it.
Isn't that the truth?
Get off your phone.
How do we get by without these? I mean, it's really difficult to survive without a source here.
It is. Yes, exactly. It is. And not too long ago, my husband Mark and I went on a rafting trip, and we had no cell service, and it was heavenly. It was heavenly, Russ. I mean, but if I would have had cell service, I would have felt obligated to check if anybody's called, if anybody's emailed me, or if I need to look something up. I couldn't even Google anything.
You'd have used it.
I had to use my brain. I had to think about some answer to give somebody if they asked me a question.
You're doing so good lately.
Amazing.
Your brain is back. That's a good vacation.
It is a good source. It is a good source, but it can be a distraction.
It can be. On the other hand, I look at this the same way that I look at my walk with God. And I know it's an odd description,
Analogy, but
when he's there and I'm paying attention to him, the walk is sweeter and it's more connected. Mm-hmm. And when I just kind of sit down him and start thinking on my own, I feel disconnected. And I think if we would use that too, every time we look on our phone to stay connected with the whole world, if we'd use that as an example of how much God loves us and wants to stay connected with us, I think it would help us with our walk with God.
Yeah, let's think about that.
I like the positive end of this.
Let's think towards God as much as we look at our phone.
Excuse me, I got a message.
Okay. Thank you for joining us at Cowboy Church. We rely on you being there on the other side of the camera, because if you're not there, we don't have a job.
I'll be right back with your phone.
This next song is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And yet again, this is another song that just talks about God's amazing grace and how awesome and how powerful and how cleansing His grace and His salvation is in our lives. And again, if you guys know this one, sing along with me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Wondering what it may hold, feeling unsure of the future, forgetting that I'm not alone. But there's something that I hold on to, and it takes all my fears away. Well, it's not seeing, but still believing. Oh, where would I be without? Are holding me. Now that's faith. And when I don't understand, well, I still trust His plan. That's faith. When I'm going a thousand directions, wondering which way to go, that's when I need to remember that I'm not facing this all on my own. I've got someone who's right here beside me, guiding each step of the way, and all I have to do is trust Him. Oh, where would I be without faith? To know that the arms of God are holding me. Now that's faith. And when I don't understand, I still trust His plan, and that's faith.
That's faith.
Yeah, that's faith.
That's faith.
those who are simple are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very, very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. King James, they must do it. If you're going to worship, you must worship in spirit and in truth. Now, you must worship. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. I believe the reason that, one of the reasons that that we have problems living for God is that we haven't really started living for God. Now, let me explain that a little bit. I feel like a lot of Christianity in America is Christians out of just a security blanket. And I feel a lot of people go to church just so they can mark that off of their list. It's kind of like their to-do list, so they can feel good about themselves. But the truth of the matter is, if you're gonna live for God, your worship must engage your spirit. You want a reason why that you should never let your church become a dead church. Here it is. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. Your spirit has to be engaged. So how are you going to engage your spirit? Guys, I don't know why we try to take this out of the church, but we need this in the church. We need enthusiasm. If you're playing football, you spend all week preparing for this football game. And you get in the locker, you have your uniform on, you have your helmet in your hand, you have everything ready to go, and you sit in front of the coach, and the coach stands up, and what does he do?
Well, I think you guys are going to do pretty good, you know.
Y'all are okay, you know. It doesn't really matter how you play. You're going to make it. And how stupid is that? Why do we think that transfers into church? Man, worship must engage your spirit. Your spirit is your life. The reason they try to get the hoorah out of you is because your spirit is life and your spirit responds to the hoorah. So I'm just not like that very much. What? You know what? Don't be saying stuff. I heard a commercial the other day that reminds me of what this is. Somebody needs to tell these guys there. This is it's a real estate company and they call themselves the Urea. And I said, don't they know that is same word for chicken manure? I don't know why you would call your organization that, because I don't want a realtor that's involved in that. It just doesn't make sense to me. But you understand where I'm going at. If you think that Christianity is something that's supposed to be dead and you just sit around and blah yourself into heaven, when you get to heaven, you're going to be terribly disappointed. Because the Bible talks about the rejoicing and the dancing and the hoorah that goes on because it's your spirit that gets to go to heaven. Man, don't ever fall for the trap that Christianity has to be boring. Because I don't believe that's real Christianity. I think they're missing it. Your worship has to engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. My spirit, here's the thing. If I'm in pursuit of truth, I can gain truth by knowledge. I know a lot of smart people who've read the Bible. A lot of smart people understand a lot more than I do. But they don't go live it. It doesn't make a difference in the way they live. And the reason is, it's the spirit that lives in us that makes a difference in the way we conduct our lives. And here's what's happened. Here's at this lady, this is a perfect example. The perfect. Here's a woman whose reputation is tarnished at best. And Jesus focused in on her because she's got nothing to lose. Now listen to this. You're gonna love this. He tells her, go tell your community. Now, you know, I could have picked a better example than her. Except that on her way to town, she came up with this formula for inviting people to the revival. She says, I found a prophet, and he told me everything that I did. Come and hear him. The men, I better go protect my honor. The women, I need to go find out if my man was a part of this deal. That's not original. But you think about this hook line. She had the perfect hook line to draw those people in because she had nothing to lose. You need to come hear this guy. And many people came out there and got saved. Now, but that's not it. That's not the finish. After the day of Pentecost, when the church was established, here's the beautiful part. One of the guys went to that community, and at that community, it says that every person in town came to know the Lord. It was 100% town. Now, why do you think 6 months ago, why do you think that all of those people were interested in that encounter, and there's only one reason for it, is because the reputation of the woman who used to be this is now this. Something happened to her, and I want whatever she got because there's been a change. I know there's a little assumption here. But if she had gone back and started living the same way she was living before, there wouldn't have been those people later come to the revival. There's a reason, and God used this woman whose testimony was so profound. So profound. To come back into the community and be an example of what God can do. And friends, when she got it in her spirit, Jesus talked to her about worship. You must worship in spirit and truth. And he said, your worship must engage your spirit. And when her spirit got involved in this walk with God, it changed the way she acted. It changed the way she lived. Now, if you're having trouble, living the way that God wants you to live, maybe you're doing this Christianity stuff by rote instead of by spirit. Because the power of this thing is in spirit. But it's not neglecting the truth. The spirit is what makes it, I can prove it. The disciples all failed at the death of Jesus. They all walked away. They all ran. But when they came back and they had an encounter with God and they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, most of them gave their life. It's not that they didn't know Jesus was the Son of God before. They had all the knowledge before. They'd seen these miracles. They had all that stuff. But the difference is, in pursuit of truth, they engaged their spirit with the Holy Spirit, and it was a difference maker. They were then able to live the way that they were supposed to live in overcoming life, being the person God intended them to be, doing what God called them to do, cleaning up the way they acted, the way they lived, and becoming an example of what God can do. Guys, if you're having trouble being an example, if you got saved and you're still living like the devil, you need an encounter with God that's a spiritual encounter with God, that's a life-changing encounter with God, that is a powerful encounter with a God. And it's got to be one of them things that makes a difference in the way that we live. It makes a difference in the way we talk. It makes a difference in the way we do business. It makes a difference in the way we do our jobs. It makes a difference in every aspect of your life. So you should never be discouraged here because I'm preaching truth. You should be encouraged. I'm giving you tools. This is not a step-by-step-by-step formula. This is an encounter. It's a relationship. It's a spiritual walk. It's a spiritual relationship. It has to be an encounter with enthusiasm where God living in you and through you and with you and for you, and you and God together become a powerful force of nature and of the Spirit, and you become an overcomer. Man. You say, Russ, you don't know how I live. I don't really know how this woman lived either, but I'm going to guess you probably didn't have it much worse than she did. You probably weren't involved in more garbage than she was involved in. I don't think any of us can say, well, I'm too bad for that, because Jesus just proved it doesn't matter how bad you were. It matters how connected you are. Don't you get tired of just failing? I heard somebody say, I just sin every day. And I thought, well, quit. It's not a requirement. God's grace doesn't require that you go ahead and just keep sinning. God's grace is the tool that you use to stop sinning. We should become holy people before God. Holy. Now I realize you probably never achieve complete holiness until you actually die. You know, you got to get rid of the flesh, and it's a mind battle. But man, that mind battle cannot be just a discipline. It has to be an encounter with a living God, God living in my mind, with my mind, through my mind, for me, so that I can be an overcomer through Jesus Christ and through living and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Man, you won't hear much better stuff if you want to live for God. You know why I'm preaching this? Is because you need it. That's the first reason. But your family needs it. Your family needs for you to be a shining light and an example. Where you work needs it. They need for you to be an example of what God can do with and for and through a person. This community needs it. Your community needs it. Johnson County needs it. God knows America needs a full dose of it. And we will never get there if we don't individually, as a church, pursue being engaged in the Spirit in our pursuit of truth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us, Lord Jesus. God, help us to be people who are engaged in Spirit. God, may our worship always be the kind that is engaging. Lord, let everything we do be an act of worship to you. Lord, I pray you'd put enthusiasm in our hearts for doing the right thing. God, I pray that you would inspire us to be the right kind of people. God, I pray that you would bring individual, personal revival to each one of us, Lord Jesus. God, we need a touch from you. God, we need the power of your Holy Spirit working in us. God, may we never be the same. We want to be people who are just the people you want us to be. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.